JR, Jamie, and the Morning Ride. Good morning, it is JR. The mayor, Lubbock's mayor, Dan Pope, in studio with us.
We have a celebrity.
We do. Settle on up there, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Thank you so much for joining us in on the show this morning. We got some questions for you from the public at large.
Cool.
And some from ourselves as well. So we really appreciate you taking some time and joining us.
Good to be here.
Just to recap, you got elected in 2016, so you've been in office about a year and a half now?
Yes, 15 months.
About 15 months? Yeah. Fantastic.
Speak up there, Mayor.
About 15 months. It's rarely a problem for me.
Point of introduction, Mayor Pope was...
I can't hear you at all either, sir.
Just as a form of introduction, Mayor Pope is a local businessman, very successful. He was on the school board, did an excellent job. They really turned some things around when he was there and sold off his business. And I remember asking him, we were at Nick's, what are you going to do now? And he said, I don't have any idea. So here you are, Mayor Pope. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens to you. Wake up one day.
How life works out.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'll be mayor. Yeah, there you go.
Well, first off, I think one of the things that people seem to be concerned about most with, that I'd love to ask you your thoughts and opinions on, is the proposed sound ordinance, especially because we're very much a live music station. A lot of our people are out there going to see these things at venues and shows around town. That worries a lot of people when they see this brought up all the time is in particular one particular councilwoman who seems to keep bringing it up. What are your thoughts on this subject?
Well, first of all, we appreciate the fact that you support live music.
Yeah.
That's our heritage, and that's very important. In fact, I was listening this morning to some of your advertisements from your folks that support live music or, you know, one council member has part of her district that's impacted by an outdoor amphitheater.
Right.
And I think that's the impetus behind all of this.
Okay.
There's not support on the council for a noise ordinance. Really, I don't think any changes to our noise ordinance. I think the most effective way for us to work right now is to work in that district with that with the property owner at the amphitheater and try to make sure that they're able to coexist with that neighborhood. And I think that's where the efforts are right now from a council standpoint.
Right.
You know, one of the things I think you learn in public office is that when you try to make law, when you try to put ordinances in place, you're trying to you want everybody's input. You know, you want to talk to folks on both sides of an argument and those, frankly, in the middle, because you often find there's as many in the middle as there are anywhere else. And maybe what we learned from this situation was that when that proposed ordinance came to council, first of all, it caught most of the council off guard because there had not been a lot of discussion about it. But it caught the business owners and the supporters of music off guard because they'd not been at the table. And that to me is not maybe the way we want to go about those type things.
Right.
You know, we want to make sure we have the chance to talk about it and try to find a way to potentially find a solution. So I wouldn't say it's active at the moment. We still have some citizens that are concerned. When they're concerned, we've got to continue to work on trying to solve those kind of problems.
Oh, that was my phone. It's fine.
But mine's on. But that's where we are right now.
So let me ask you then about the particular council person.
Yeah.
Who doesn't seem to want to let that drop. But there was a reporting of her out at the Lone Star Amphitheater with police officers, calling them out to there and having them measure sound from certain places. At what point, and I apologize, this is just from a person who loves live music and
sure.
goes out to those venues all the time. At what point does that kind of become harassment, so to speak, of the thing going on?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. So, JR, I think that first of all, it's not a we don't have a situation where we've got one city council person trying to create an issue. She's got constituents. Who,
okay.
There's a number of them that have reached out. I've got a stack of letters.
Fair enough.
So she's trying to respond in that regard. Now, in her case, becomes a little more personal because her father and sister live in that neighborhood. So I think that ties her to it a little closer.
That's fair. That's the rumor I've heard is that's really all she was serving was the family members.
No,
I've
got a number of, it's more than just
okay.
that. But it's not just, she's not the only one that's been there during those concerts. Councilwoman Gibson, Councilman Griffith have both been out there with police to try to, you know, understand it better. I mean, we don't have an issue with the decibels in that neighborhood. So I think the city law is 85 decibels around this, and I think that it pretty much mimics the state law. Both
right.
of them are very vague, probably maybe intentionally. The problem in that neighborhood is not that type of sound. It's the bass sound. You guys would understand this
yeah.
better than I would.
Yeah.
But that becomes the issue. And so, you know, I think we're working with the neighborhood and the property owner. There's some real relatively inexpensive ways to deflect that sound back into the amphitheater and out of the neighborhood. And I would hope that we could get something like that done. We need live music there. It's a great venue. I would like to see the venue spiffed up a little bit. I think it could,
I would
me
as well.
Too.
I think
oh, my
it,
gosh.
I think it needs some investment, frankly.
Yeah.
I was talking to some music folks last week on another topic, and they were talking about the potential that it has. And so,
is that something to where you think any public funding could go towards in helping to revitalize that arena, that area?
Yeah, you don't ever say no to something like that, but I would suggest as long as it's a private venture that where they're going to, you know, they're going to make the money from it, they need to be the one making the investment in it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Another question I wanted to talk to you about was crime right now in Lubbock seems to be, it feels like it's going up quite a lot. We have a lot of car burglaries and things of that sort.
I agree with that.
People,
especially within the neighborhood.
Yeah, in the neighborhoods. People are generally, and this is a big generalization, I feel like, but it feels like we're feeling less safe lately. And we have a large police force.
Yeah, we do.
So how do we counteract that? Are we just not... Are shifts and things like that not appropriate? Like, how can we get crime under control lately here?
Okay, so great question, and I think you're right about certainly car burglaries in
right.
particular. I think that's we've had a rash of that. Violent crime. Let me just on the stats for
yeah.
a second. Violent crime is. Growing slower. In fact, we've bent the curve on it. It's growing slower than our population is. There is some good news in there.
That is okay.
However, the property crimes, we've got some issues. We had a town hall meeting in both District 3, which is sort of Central Lubbock, Tech Terrace, Monterey neighborhood, sort of a lot of Caprock neighborhood. We had a town hall there a couple weeks ago. That's Councilman Griffith's district. We had a town hall maybe a month ago in District 4, which is Massengale, Steve Massengale's district. That's generally south of the Loop and east of Quaker. Bunch a rash of one of that's one of the topics we talked a lot about that day. So we do have a fully funded, fully staffed
right.
Police department. We're at 433. It's the first time we can say we've had as many police as we've had budget for in I don't know how many years, maybe two couple decades. It's a function of working with neighbors and neighborhoods and trying to do a better job of protecting them. One of the things we need is we need people that live in neighborhoods paying close attention to what's going on. We're supportive of neighborhood watch programs. If people want to do that, we'll help them. If contact LPD, we'll help them with those type things. But we need to lock cars. We had roughly 100 guns stolen out of vehicles last month.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
It's become the currency of our day and time is a gun, and I don't understand it. I mean, I love to shoot my gun. I love to hunt birds, but you know, I don't understand the idea of stealing guns and for that matter, leaving a gun in a car. And so we first of all, there needs to be some bit of precaution. The other thing we've got to do, and you'll see something from us around this, is we got to put a focus on the some of the drug problems.
Yeah,
that's what's driving this. So much of this primes these property crimes are people that are trying to grab something that they can sell so they can support a drug habit. And we're not talking about professional criminals that are
right.
You know, we've got that's the issue. We're working with the county right now on hopefully soon to be able to announce a drug task force to work with the county and with DPS on that. I mean, I think we need to raise the awareness that's drug problems. You know, this is not you know, I grew up on I-35. I know what it was like going to high school in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah,
I get it. Okay, I don't have my head in the, you know, in the sand on this deal. But there are things we can do and we need to be doing as a city, as a county, and I think you'll see something from us pretty quickly on that.
Do you see the heroin epidemic that is going on? Mostly, it seems to be taking place to the Northeast Pennsylvania and all that stuff, making its way down here at all.
Sure, we've seen examples of the opioid, you know, those problems, the fentanyl bust we had here last year was significant. It's a problem, and I don't think we have the issue that they have in the Rust Belt. Frankly, so much of that, in my belief, is, and this will, I'll sound a little bit like Pollyanna, but it's about giving kids hope. You know, we need to be able, a kid from any part of the community needs to be able to see that there's something for them at the end of the road. These opioids, they just scare the hell out of me.
Oh.
I mean, there was a 10-year-old died. You may have seen the report in somewhere. They think he may have touched it on a towel in a swimming pool. Maybe it's a remarkable issue that we have as a country. And I give the feds if they can ever get their stuff together and get their budget passed. My understanding is there's significant funding to try to, if nothing else, raise the awareness around this.
Just a quick programming note. We are taking a quick break for music while we interview Lubbock Mayor Dan Pope, because we've had a lot of questions we want to talk to you.
Sure.
We're located here in the Wells Fargo building downtown. And my biggest disappointments in downtown is that it's not revitalized to the area I think it could be with getting businesses in, nightlife in. What are we doing to encourage businesses to come back here to take part in downtown? I know the Freedom Tower, you just got funding for that.
Citizens Tower. Good.
Freedom
Tower. I like
Tower.
Freedom. That's good.
Yeah.
Different city.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Citizens Tower, they budget approved for that. What are we doing to bring local businesses back?
Okay, so great point. Completely agree with you. I can look out the window at a building that I've owned downtown for nearly 25 years. Okay,
yeah.
So I've been coming to work down here for a long time, and we're making progress. Remember that you can't redevelop downtown like you can do a new development on the West Loop. You've got out there, you've got a cotton field. Redevelopment takes time. You've got old buildings, some of them historic. You've got businesses that are in place that you can't just kick to the curb. But the things we are doing.
We also have a lot of abandoned or empty buildings that aren't being touched for some reason.
Yeah, we do. But we're in a speculative market,
right?
So some of those buildings that are abandoned, the owners are very proud of them. They start to see what's going on just west of your building right here.
My garbage looks awesome next to the thing you want. Gotcha.
You got it. You see the $150 million Buddy Holly Hall. You see Citizens Tower. Those are two catalytic kind of projects downtown. There'll be, I think there's become very little secret, but there's a big project that's going to go in just west of this, of Wells Fargo. That's my understanding too. And
okay.
Sort of a cool kind of niche-y, boutique-y kind of hotel. It's got a motel-hotel kind of theme to it. And I think that'll be announced and work happening this fall. I mean, they've gone through zoning board of adjustment on some parking concessions that they needed. So it's going down the road, but we're offering incentives for through Market Lubbock and Lubbock Economic Development Authority to businesses that are willing to invest in their facade and update their building. We're doing some matching grants or some 10% grants, depending on how much they're willing to put in. So you're trying to spiff up what's here already, and then you're looking for businesses that want to be here. We've got a guy that's going to move 20 jobs here, new to Lubbock. Software jobs, good jobs. He's a Red Raider. Their business is based on the West Coast. They're growing. We think over maybe 2 or 3 years, they'll have 50 jobs. They'd like to be downtown. They're going to be downtown. It's not easy to find the kind of space that they need. That's one of our challenges right now. And so, whether it's getting some of those buildings to change hand to people who are willing then to invest in them and then release them. But just bear with us. There are good things happening. It doesn't happen as fast as we'd like it to happen. I'll give you an example. We look across it. If we look out to the east, the LPL building.
Right.
Okay. So that was many years ago, that was a
department store.
Department store, then a savings and loan, as I recall. Yeah. Well, that building, in 22 months, when we move LPL to Citizens Tower, that building becomes available. And my hope is that building goes on the market, goes to the private sector, goes on the tax roll.
Right.
We need more businesses on the tax roll downtown.
Yes.
The city and the county own too much business, too much land downtown. We get it on the tax roll. We let some developers come in, and whether they scrape it and do something new, whether they find a way to repurpose that building, you know, that's going to happen. But it's not going to happen tomorrow, because we got to have a place to move those folks. So I preach patience, but there are good things happening. We're working with had lunch with I invited 8 or 10 of the Depot Entertainment District owners,
right,
to lunch. Maybe 6 weeks or so ago, we're talking some things with those guys about what we can do to help them increase police presence, maybe closing the street on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. I would like us to look at an ordinance where in certain areas you could take a drink and a go cup from venue to venue.
I love that idea.
Yes. Yeah. Now we're talking.
In those areas, yeah. We got to make sure we can do it the right way. But it's something that I mean, we often in life we think we work and we have family and sleep, and in between there should be a lot of time we could have fun. And
yeah,
let's make sure we want to make Lubbock fun too. And you know, some people have given us a hard time about restrapping Broadway to put the bike lanes in.
I'm not gonna lie, it looks ugly, but I can appreciate what's going behind it.
Who wants to ride a bike down a brick street?
Well, all the students, I see students do it all the time.
So it's interesting though. You don't want to ride down 19th Street. No, I can promise you that. Or the Marsh of Sharp. So when you think about how you get to Tech from the middle part of the city to the lake, to the canyon. Uh-huh. So that's the way it happens. And there's an app that the bike riders use that they use it to track their miles and their speed and all. But you, if someone, I could download it and look at how just where the traffic patterns are. When you look at the traffic patterns, they're on Broadway.
And right.
So that's why it's striped that way. We'll hopefully do some more streets like that. I mean, one of the things we hear from students, from millennials, from the folks at Tech, is they want the ability to get on their bike and move around that way instead of always in their car.
I do want to make sure I give Jamie and David a chance here. I just had a follow-up question with something you said about the city and county owning too many buildings really in the downtown area, which, by the way, city county offices will close at 5 o'clock, and so it ends up leaving a lot of quietness, which fills in with the homeless population down here as well.
Yeah.
So is there talk of possibly having, we have, you know, the building that you guys are redoing for the Citizens Tower, consolidating everything and selling off the rest of those so we can get more people downtown?
I think that's part of the plan. I mean, I think you look at assets that the city owns, and you want to ask the question, is it, does it have a, do we need it for the long, in the future? Parking lot. You know, we're going to do something with the old police station. I mean, we're going to have to do the what we call municipal square, which was originally City Hall. I think you see that go back on the hopefully go back on the tax rolls. But I think the answer is yes. I mean, you want having private business down here, having folks that pay taxes, allow it spreads the load for everyone else, and allows us to make the kind of investments, particularly downtown, because we've got a what's called a it's in a TIF district, which is tax increment financing district, but basically means that about 12, 13 years ago, we drew a line. That's what the property value. Let's say it was $100 million in this in this defined area 10 years ago, 12 years ago. All the growth that 100 million that the property tax for that continues to go to the city, but the growth in that property tax as it appreciates over a defined period of time, 30 years, I think, as it grows, that growth in property tax goes to the TIF district, which they're able to then reinvest back in downtown. So that's how we're, that's how we've worked to put the utilities underground. That's how we're doing some of this work to prepare for this development to the west here. That's how we are doing some other streetscaping kind of things.
Gotcha.
And so that's we've just brought the we brought Glenna Goodacre across Q up to the Civic Center, so it's consistent all the way now. Well, that was done the part on the city side, downtown side, of Q was done with TIF dollars. So, you know, that's another way we invest in downtown. There are a lot of different techniques or capabilities, but it just it takes time. We've got people like the folks at Italian Garden and West Table and the new Mexican food restaurant across from City Hall, Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
Those guys are all doing great business. I was in West Table.
I'm glad you told me that's a restaurant, because I just thought there was an insane guy standing out front with those Cinco de Mayo. I was like, it's not even close to
Fifth. Well, I was like, man, come on, man. But really, it's excellent. It's fresh. It's local family that owns it. It's small business, classic small business. It's worth giving it a try.
I've had their food, by the way, and it is Mexican. It's very, very
gotcha.
Good.
Spicy too.
I don't want to. I've been monopolizing, and I apologize, Jamie, Dave. Yeah. You have some questions that
I've got a question for Mayor Pope. I can
get in on the mic there if you don't mind.
Okay, let me do the Jamie thing and raise that. There we go.
Awesome.
Is it noisy?
That was really loud.
Yes, Jamie. So if you ever wanted to do this, we're talking about the growth of Lubbock and with Lita, I know, bringing jobs in, but a lot of them, it would be difficult to say, who are these people, where do they come from, and how do they get the money to build these fantastic big houses, especially on the west and southwest side? You ever wanted to knock, go door to door and say, hi, I'm Mayor Pope, who are you, and where did you come from?
Well, I did that. You know, it's interesting, when you run for election, you do that. You knock on tons and tons of doors, and you meet a lot of people, and you go to neighborhood coffees or, you know, events, and you meet folks, and so I have an answer for that question.
Great, I'd love to hear, because I wanted to do that. I'm not running for anything, but...
People say, so, in fact, today... we're the seven mayors of the seven largest cities in West Texas are getting together here, and we're going to talk, and they'll ask me about Lubbock's growth. I know they will. Just it happens I get asked that question every week. And the people, Lubbock's economy is strong, and it's strong for the right kind of reasons. We've got certainly you can't start that conversation without talking about Texas Tech. The growth at Tech has been important to us. You know, students bring faculty and bring staff. You've got growth both at the university and at everything the Health Science Center does. The law school's grown. It's just the graduate school's grown. The growth there is good for us. You've got a very strong medical community. Best health care between Fort Worth and Phoenix.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We don't ever want to forget that. All you have to do is go live in... well,
anywhere.
Just somewhere.
Yeah.
Go live in Albuquerque as an example.
Right.
Know, with all due respect to Albuquerque. You got those two things. The third part of it is, and certainly ag, we don't want to forget cotton and the other things we do. It still is a big part of very big part of our economy. But we also have this fabric of small business, lots and lots of small business, and lots of people who choose to live in Lubbock. I think that's probably the story, that there's a good and a bad news story there. A number of the folks who live here have moved here from regional communities. because they have job opportunities here, or they've gotten to that point in life where healthcare is important to them, or they've got grandkids here, or they want to be close to. You know, I knocked on the door of that. I said, "What do you love the most about Lubbock?" The lady said, "I love the Alamo Draft House." This is ladies in her mid 60s. She goes,
"Good for her,
she goes, I love the Alamo Draft House."
I do too.
And so, I mean, but they want to be close to an airport. They want to be close to great restaurants. And I think credit's due to some of the city leadership before us. If you drive down Milwaukee,
mm-hmm. right,
and think of where Milwaukee was 15 years ago, it didn't. It wasn't even
dirt road hardly.
It was a dirt
six,
road.
6 years ago, it wasn't all that. Populated.
You know, Mayor Martin and Mayor McDougal and Mayor Miller and Mayor Robertson and their councils, Mayor Sitton. I mean, you had mayors that were willing to take a risk, particularly the folks that Mayor Martin and those developers that did what they did on Milwaukee. Well, they stuck their neck out, and we're the beneficiaries of it. And it's real growth. When you have an Infinity store and an Audi store,
yeah,
and it hit a market like ours, that's
a big deal.
Those are big deals.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the only thing, my only complaint is, how many more franchise, you know, fast food restaurants can we have in Lubbock? I mean,
stop after In-N-Out, and I'll be happy.
I'm fortunate that my wife's a great cook, so we eat
there
a lot at home. Although my kids are gone, so she makes this case that it's hard to cook for two. But you know, the market will take care of that. I'm a fan of our local restaurants. That's where I spent most of my time. I enjoyed one of them last night with my daughter.
You can say. It's all right.
La Serena last night with my daughter. It was great. They had a big crowd on a Tuesday night. But, you know, I'm a Cap Rock Cafe in Orlando's kind of guy. Burrito Tower on 34th Street on Saturday morning. I could run you through my Monte Longo's for Mexican food.
By the way, Tommy's Red Dirt Rebel Burrito.
I'm gonna give you a chance to take a bite of that because I really have to take a break. We went way longer than I anticipated, but we got to get some commercials in. Are you sticking around here for a couple more minutes?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm here. I'm good.
Listener questions coming up here in moments. It's JR Jamie in the Morning Ride, 8:30. Good morning. JR Jamie and the Morning Ride. Good morning. It is 8:34. Mayor Dan Pope is joining. Is the proper term the Honorable Dan Pope, I believe?
Mayor Dan's fine. Actually.
Dan is fine.
Dan's fine.
I, like I said, I've been monopolizing. I told Jamie off the air, I'm sorry. I just had so many questions I wanted to ask. I know you have at least one question.
I was just thinking, this is something that I've been thinking about for a year, and I don't even know if really there's a specific answer for it, but and there's not many people like me who move to Lubbock and want to stay forever because, you know, I fell in love with it. And my mom's listening right now. Mom, I'll move back eventually, I promise. But anyways, I don't see, the past year I've been looking at job opportunities, and I'm thankful that I have one here, but I don't see an economy for kids, young adults, I'm not a kid, oh, young adults like me who are just getting out of college, who would love to stay in Lubbock, but, you know, I'm not married, I'm not having kids anytime soon, which I feel like that's a lot of people, when they stay in Lubbock.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't seen a lot of job opportunity for entry level or even mid level, you know, people like me who've worked through college. So what are your opinions on that? Because I do think that I know a couple of people like me who are like, I would love to stay in Lubbock, but there's no opportunity for a 23-year-old college graduate.
That's been going on since I was in
high school. I can't hear you at all, Dave.
That's been going on since I was in high school.
Since the earth was cooling back when Dave was in high school. So, Jamie, you ask if I could have scripted one question today, it would have been that question.
Oh, good.
Okay,
good.
So.
Don't guess up to her.
Yeah. I was actually in Amarillo a couple weeks ago, and I was at a luncheon with the mayor and one of their city council people, and somebody at the table asked me the magic wand question. I think it was the mayor of Amarillo. She said, if you had a magic wand in Lubbock, what would you do? And I said, I'd like to create 500 new jobs a year that would be, excuse me, I didn't say it that way. I said, I'd like to keep 500 more college graduates.
Yes.
Tech, LCU, South Plains College, Wayland, a year. And but to do that, you've got to have the right kind of jobs. It's something we talked about a lot on the campaign trail. We talk about it all the time. That's why downtown matters. That's right. Why bike parks, bike paths matter. That's why dog parks matter. That's why having things that are fun to do matter. But we need to be attractive to millennials. And we need to be attractive to the companies that hire millennials.
Yes.
And it's a bit of a chicken or egg. You could argue, what comes first in this deal. But first and foremost, we work with our existing businesses and we try to give them every reason to continue to invest and grow so they can hire our kids. It resonates when you talk to people. You sit in a room of people my age, mid-50s and older, and you talk about jobs. So their kids can raise their kids here.
Right. Well, and you have a daughter that is in Lubbock.
Yeah,
is she right?
Well, and she's actually not going to school here, but she's here home for the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'd love to think that she could have a son that's 22. I have a 20-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. I'd love to think that I'd get to see my grandkids all the time.
Yes. That's my parents too.
So, I left Lubbock when I finished Tech in 1985. I was gone 9 years. Mm-hmm. We made a choice to come back here and start a business and raise our family here.
Right. Well, and I feel like that's a good way to come back. You come back and you start a business. And I know, women, young women who've started boutiques here, online, just for something for them to do and make a living while they're still young and, don't have someone helping them support themselves.
But we need more jobs, Jamie, to your point. We need more jobs for 22, 23, 24, 25, because, you may have that itch to start a business at some point in your life. You may never have it, but you need to have a job that's got good benefits that allows you to contribute to our economy. And we're working on that. It's sort of job one. But I appreciate your comment about it. It's something that I'm committed to continue to work
on. Good. Well, thank you so much. As a 23-year-old, almost college graduate, appreciate that so much.
Are you talking with any big companies about making this their home?
We're talking with companies, big companies. I don't know. I don't know of anybody big. I mean, we're not talking to Amazon or Google about opening something up here. But we are talking to big companies. And the most important thing we do, though, is continue to make sure what's here doesn't go anywhere, and they continue to invest. And then you talk about that. What we have to offer. One of our challenges, to Jamie's point, one of our challenges is workforce. So if you just look at the stats and you're looking at someplace you might want to move, you look at Lubbock, you go, wow, less than around 3% unemployment. That means that everybody that wants a job has the job, and maybe 1% that are working that don't really want to be working. I mean, we think full employment's around 4%.
No, usually like 3 or 4 is about right.
So, we've got this workforce issue, so that's why you need to keep college graduates here. That's why you also need to take kids who don't want to go to the traditional, go a 4-year college when they finish high school. You get them in a trade school, whether it's South Plains College, or they need to learn a trade. They because that's attractive to businesses that want to come here too. People that want to manufacture things, people that want to distribute things. The fact that we're rural and we have this agrarian kind of heritage helps us. Those kids know how to work. That's important to businesses. And we just have to tell our story. Businesses today want millennials and millennials get a bad rap, and I think it's undeserved. And if you really look at the data around it, millennials are probably going to be more productive than baby boomers, which I'm one of those. They're just gonna peak a little bit later. Their 30 is going to be more like that. We talk about it being the new 20, but it really is more like the new 22 or 23 at 30. I mean, your millennials much more likely to bring their dog home for Christmas at 28 than they are to bring a spouse. Yeah. That's a fact. And so, we have to change our thinking a little bit. But there's no reason why we can't be attractive.
Yeah, Mayor, to that end, the real issue that I know has been discussed so many times, sorry, Jamie, right in the middle of your, over here, I'm so sorry, is not just jobs, but what keeps people here, but wages and salaries. Even though Dallas or Austin or Houston, places like that, have more jobs at better salaries. The cost of living is more there. But when you're a young kid starting out and you're looking at making absolutely starvation wages as compared to moving to Dallas to take a job, then the choice is not just cultural, it becomes financial. How do you address that?
Well, I think the market takes care of that for the most part. You know, there's always been that sort of that West Texas discount type thing.
Well, yeah, but it hasn't over all these years I've been here.
I think it has. I think you're seeing some change. I talked to a business owner the other day that was a hotelier, complaining about not being able to keep housekeepers. And I said, well, what are you paying? And he said, I'm paying minimum wage. I said, well, that's your problem. Yeah. And it is. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to have to adjust to attract the right kind of people. We learned that in 20 years running a small business that, if you recruit for value and pay them fairly, you're a whole lot better off than trying to do it on the cheap and have a revolving door where you're always training somebody. And, that's the person you're putting in front of your client. That's, it doesn't, whether you're at a fast food restaurant, whether you own a hotel, whether you're hiring for your receptionist, whether you're hiring somebody to write code, it's you need to make those kind of investments. And I have no trouble looking at a business owner and saying, if you're going to be cheap, you're going to get cheap. Okay, and that's the reality of it.
Lubbock's Mayor Dan Pope in studio, and that's why we're taking an extended break from music to get some questions answered. And on that note, you were talking about value being here, and of course the West Texas discount. Let's talk about LPNL for a moment. That's one of the things that people dislike the most right now is their LPNL bill and not having the opportunity to choose.
Yeah. So this is the this time of year certainly is that the time that your LPNL bill flashes at you. So let's first of all I want to baseline everything on one of one thing. Today your city utility bill comes in a bill that's marked LPNL.
Right.
Soon, that's going to start saying City of Lubbock Utilities on it. So we're going to better represent the fact that your LPNL bill has water and stormwater and sewer and all on the bill. So that'll help a little bit.
All right, so you're changing the sign.
Because LPNL gets grief. I mean, I had a call that just this week called the office, was complaining about their LPNL bill, and you start asking questions. Well, it was about water. Well, LPNL has nothing to do with water other than the fact that it's on that bill.
Right.
Okay, we got a water department.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
So, for many years, we did have competition in the electric market here. You had LPNL and you had Southwest Public Service or Xcel Energy. A number of years ago, the council decided to buy out Xcel Energy. So we have inside the city, for the most part, if you live in Lubbock, you're an LPNL client. If you live in some of the south and west part of towns, you're a South Plains Electric Co-op client. You don't really have any choice.
Right.
If you're a spec client, you can't be an LPNL. And if you're an LPNL, you can't be spec. It's just the way it is.
But we're one of the only communities in Texas. There's a few. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of other places in Texas have choice, and we don't have that choice to shop.
Yeah, you're right. Amarillo doesn't have choice. Austin doesn't have choice. San Antonio doesn't have choice. Now, Dallas-Fort Worth does. Houston does. And I think we'll eventually get there. We're in the process of trying to join ERCOT, which is the energy grid for really all of Texas with the exception of the Panhandle.
Right.
So we're not part of ERCOT. We're in the process of trying to join ERCOT for a number of reasons. It gets pretty wonky and technical. But long term, that would allow us at some point to potentially deregulate. You know, that requires the act of the legislature.
Right.
That's not a city council kind of decision. But LPNL needs to operate like they're not a monopoly, okay? They need to run their business that way. And they've heard me say that, and I believe that's what our citizens expect. They expect affordable. By the way, we are. We're below the statewide average for what we pay for electricity. So it should be affordable, reliable, available kind of. I mean, you need to flip the switch and be able to count on it. We're working on reliability. Our plant, our distribution center is probably aged. When we were competing against Xcel, you compete, and
right.
You probably weren't investing as much in your plant and that part of your assets as you should have been. We're making those investments right now. This will be year four of a 5-year plan where It's been completely explained. It's been a bunch of capital investment, and so that'll drive reliability. That's one of our issues downtown. This is the oldest part of our electrical infrastructure, so we're working hard on doing that. But LPNL is in a much better place than they were several years ago. The leadership changes that were made under the previous
right.
mayor.
Yeah, I remember that.
The guy that Dave McCullough, who runs it day to day, the CEO, is a very capable electrical administrator. He knows the business. He was a Texas Tech grad that spent 35 years in the industry. And he and his wife wanted to come back to Lubbock. We're lucky to have him here. It's governed by a board of citizens led by Greg Taylor, a local CPA. Offices in this very building. He's you want those kind of people there. And there's nine of them. In fact, they had a board meeting yesterday. I've sat ex officio on that board, so I get to be in the room when they're making those decisions. They're, I think, doing the right things. But, you know, when I looked at the weather this week, and we're going to be in the mid-90s for the foreseeable future, and that means we're paying our bills spike this time of year
right.
with electricity, and it drives that awareness up. I think LPNL is accountable. We need to hold them accountable. If you've got, I always tell citizens, if they have problems, there's two ways they can get a hold of us. The very best way is to call 311. Okay, like you've got 911 on your phone.
If you dial 311.
If you dial 311, it goes to the basement of City Hall. That's where it's answered, and they can patch your call. So if you've got an LPNL problem, even if it's as simple as you see a street light that's out, or if you got a pothole, call 311. Let us address it. Okay, or you can always call the city council office, the mayor and city council office, 775-2050. All right, you can find our email addresses. They're all online. But we don't, as you know, we're sort of the CEO of the city is the mayor, or excuse me, is the city manager. The
right.
mayor and council in our form of government are, I get paid $75 a month to be the mayor.
So,
but I spend a lot of hours for $75 a month, and I love it. I don't ever complain about it, but we've got staff that's ready to respond, and sometimes citizens choose to complain first and then call second. Call us and let us address the problem. If you have a problem, call me. I get a lot of calls. I get calls from people that are frustrated. I also get calls from people that say, hey, we appreciate you responding, and we want the chance to try to solve problems.
We are running short on time, but I wanted to get to some listener questions here real quick.
Sure.
One minor league baseball team. Any chance of making that happen?
Not in the foreseeable future.
Okay.
And I'm a baseball guy, but it's just not in the foreseeable
future. That's
fair.
Listen, this is a bigger question, but someone basically kind of complaining about the limiting the power to increase property taxes. Their property taxes going up. This is a question from the app.
There was another question on that the other day, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so the city... we don't do tax appraisals. I think you probably know that, but the state law provides for an appraisal district in every county, and that the appraisal district does the appraisals on an annual basis. And I pay property taxes just like you guys do. I don't like it. I don't like it when it goes up. I think it should go up with the market. I generally feel like our property appraisals are fair. I think when there's one that's not fair, there's an appeal process, and your listeners need to make sure they understand that. I've appealed my appraisals many times. It's
okay.
A fair process, and it's you often can get solved something before you even have to go to the appraisal board or the appeal board. But remember, in Texas, we don't have a state income tax.
Right.
But we pay a relatively low sales tax. The gas tax hasn't gone up since the 80s. That's a whole nother discussion.
Right.
The franchise tax, if you run a business, is relatively low. In fact, if for our smallest business, they pay nothing in franchise tax. We're a relatively low tax state. But it's driven by the property tax. That's where if you look at City Hall, our revenues come the two biggest sources of revenue for us are sales tax and property tax. And they're actually about equal. They provide about 45% each of our budget, a little less than that. The rest of it comes from other fees like municipal court and those kind of things. But you know, just be vigilant about your property. I mean, I often ask somebody who gets real heated about it. I say, okay, let me ask you a question. So if I wanted to write you a check today for what your house is appraised for, would you take that?
I rent, so I don't know.
If the answer to that is well, yeah, I would. Then maybe it is appraised too high. You know, but
gotcha.
Often people will say, I wouldn't take my house.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So it's get involved in the process. But you know, remember the city government has very little to do with the fact that that's how our state funds things. We're the recipient of those taxes. We're supposed to be good stewards of that.
Final question for you.
Sure.
Jamie and I both live in the Tech Terrace area.
Me too. That makes three of us.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That area.
Keep me safe.
I worry about that area because with the amount of landlords in there that don't take care of properties.
Yeah.
And the students who aren't, they're not given the motivation, I believe, to take care of their properties, be it big deposits or whatever, with landlords that check in, be it with property management companies or individual owners. How do we keep that from falling apart and keeping the Tech Terrace area what we all love about it?
Well, all of our neighborhoods...
Overton, all of that. Yeah,
well, I mean, we have problems around LCU. We've had situations there. We've had a sort of a turning over of the neighborhood, we've got laws on the books. We need to enforce them.
Code enforcement. Do we need more funding toward code enforcement?
We start working on the budget next week, and I think you'll see more investment there.
I'm excited to see it's one of
the council's six priorities. Follow us closely on that one. Hold us accountable. If you've got a neighbor that's not taking care of their business, call us. Okay, let us address it. All right, we'll do that. I promise you, we'll address it.
Fantastic.
But we don't have enough people to drive down the streets and say, oh. Nope, so that's why we need it. We live in community.
I guess that's kind of what I expected, though. There's like people driving around looking for code violations, but that's not the truth. I didn't think about it that way.
We do some proactive work, but what helps is when that neighbor says, "Golly, they park their cars on their front yard. Would you please?" Because they may do that. They may do that at night.
Right.
They may drive there during the day. So help
all
us out, okay?
Boys.
Yeah.
The Honorable Dan Pope, Lubbock Mayor, we really appreciate you stopping by.
It's great to be here. I'll come back sometime. I want to help spin some music when I come back.
There we go.
So, you know, I want to help pick up some
music. Well, we had
music,
a lot to get out of the way the first time this time. Next time we'll be a little bit, play a little bit. Thank you so much. If you want the concert calendar for this hour, of course, we'll catch up with it again during the 9 o'clock hour. You can check it out on our Facebook page. Find the Red Dirt Rebel online or go to theRedDirtRebel.com. More on the way. It's JR Jamie in the Morning Ride, 8:53. Thank you again to the Mayor, Dan Pope.